What is up, people? Welcome to another amazing, exciting, awesome episode of Pro Wrestling Nation. I, of course, am your host. My name is Funky Sam Medina. I am a wrestling podcaster. I am a wrestling fan. But most importantly, I am a performer at the San Jose Improv on August 30th, 2016. So if you have a can of food that you don't want, bring it on down to San Jose Improv on August 30th. Get in for free. It's a food drive. So I'm extra excited to be supporting the food drive with the Second Harvest Food Bank. And that's my cheap plug for the day. What's up, people? How's it going? I just said that all weird. It's 100 billion degrees right now. Just to let you know, it's 9 o'clock at night. I have to leave here in like 45 minutes to go to work. But it's 100 billion degrees. I've been just like avoiding like doing anything, you know? Oh, man, it's hot. Oh, it's a hot day, you guys. It's a hot, hot, hot day. But hey, you know what? I'm here. I'm here because the internet doesn't lie. The internet never lies. How's it going? Welcome to Pro Wrestling Nation. You can find us every single week on iTunes, Stitcher, Beyond Pod, the TuneIn Radio app, the new Android thing, app thing, which is pretty cool, RedDragonsRadio.com, and of course, Gerwick.net, G-E-R-W-E-C-K, Gerwick.net, your number one source for pro wrestling news since 1997. In fact, the Gerwick Report podcast has been in the headlines, you guys. Steve Gerwick and his podcast, Gerwick Report, have been making headlines. I saw it over at the Pro Wrestling Sheet. I saw it at a few other websites, I think WrestleZone and whatever. I don't want to name sites if it's not there. I know for sure it's on the Sheet, though. And the Sheet's like the hot new thing. Ryan Satin from TMZ started this website like a year ago or whatever. But Teddy Long, playa playa, holla holla, apparently spilled some beans on MVP signing a new contract. I hope that doesn't affect MVP's new contract, you know, like his Lucha Underground contract. But nonetheless, head over to Gerwick.net, listen to what Teddy Long has to say about the draft, about the new signees, about who's coming in, who he thinks is coming in, who he doesn't think is coming in, all that good stuff over at Gerwick.net. And all kinds of other audio goodness. I can't speak. Also, the Gerwick.net YouTube page, where Atlee Green did a fantasy draft. So it's pretty cool, too. Atlee Green, former podcast guest, along with Frank D. We discussed Money in the Bank like a month ago or whatever. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Nation, people. Go follow me on Twitter at PWN Podcast. Go follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/PWN Podcast. I have a new email. I don't remember what it is, though. I can look it up. Email me questions, you guys. Email me some freaking... I don't know what it is. You know what? I don't want to look it up right now. I'll debut the new email next week. Email me some questions next week, you guys. My guest this week is none other than Randy Helms, former guest. He's been on like 4 or 5 times. I love talking to Randy Helms. He's such a cool guy, and he knows his stuff, and he knows Triple H personally. They're good friends. I keep trying to tell him to get Triple H on the phone, but he doesn't want to. He's a former personal assistant to Triple H for 16 months, former military man, and all around a great guy. He's here courtesy of the Andre Corbeil Show on the Vince Russo brand and the Realm Network. So go check out Andre Corbeil, the Andre Corbeil Show, and check out my boy Randy Helms. Randy Helms is on the show, you guys. He's on YouTube. He is on the Andre Corbeil Show every single week. So go check it out. Go check it out. He has a little time, a little Randy's Corner, and he likes to get stuff off his chest about wrestling. Randy and I are here to talk about one thing, and that is the WWE Draft. I'm excited about the draft. The draft was pretty fun. I'm going to go to my conversation with Randy now, and then when I come back, we'll check out the new and improved Gerwick.net. They revamped the website. They gave it a makeover. It looks really good. We'll go over some headlines, some news. And I want to discuss a little bit of the brand depth. So, yeah, there's that. I want to discuss the brand depth. So, Gerwick.net, check that stuff out. And, yeah, I'm going to go to my conversation with Andy Helms, and I'll be back and discuss the brands. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a friend to the program, a returning guest, courtesy of the Andre Corbeil Show, Mr. Randy Helms. How you doing, Randy?
I'm well. I'm very, very well. You know, and it's funny that you say I'm a friend of the show, because that touches my heart dearly, that I am considered one of the PWN dudes. So
yeah, you're definitely one of my go-tos. You know, I remember when I first met you, I was talking to the Hardcore Podcast. I don't remember his name right now.
Dwayne Hadley, I believe.
Yeah, there we go. I was talking to Dwayne. He was like, oh, yeah, my buddy Randy, you know, he's Triple H's former assistant. He's this, he's that. I was like, oh, that's cool. Maybe I should talk to this guy. And then I've had you on like 4 or 5 times now. I really enjoy talking to you, and I really enjoy your wrestling opinions.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, I actually enjoy coming on here. I have done your podcast more than any other, like, outside of course, the stuff that I do with Andre and Sharia each week. But I mean, as far as like being a guest, yeah, this is, I think, my 4th time coming on here. And so
I believe so too.
Awesome, man. I'm looking forward to this.
Hey, just so, just in case somebody is listening that's not familiar with you, could you go ahead and run down your former WWE status and also your current status with the Andre Corbeil Show?
Sure, I'd be glad to. So, hi, I'm Randy, and I like long walks on the beach.
Hi, Randy.
Oh, wait a minute. No, that's a different profile. Anyways, nah, my name is Randy for you guys that might be new to the PWN podcast since the last time I was. I'm a retired Army Sergeant First Class. I spent 20 years in the Army. After retiring from the Army, I went to work for World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE. And I was the executive assistant to Paul Levesque. I was adjusting myself on the couch. But, I was Trip H's executive assistant for 16 months, I believe it was. And then we parted ways amicably. And I now work and live in the Washington, D.C. area, work for the federal government, and it's more suited for me with my military career. I have no regrets with my time with WWE. I met some really awesome individuals, got to know a lot of really cool people, and still keep in contact with a handful. And so I've dabbled a little bit when I was in Amarillo, Texas for 4 months, messed around with a group out there called NWA Top of Texas, and had a nice little storyline running with them for the 4 months I was out there. Great bunch of dudes. And so, hey, I'm a diehard pro wrestling fan. I will not say I'm a sports entertainment fan because I'm old school. so I harp on it a lot. I am on the Andre Corbeil Show, which is part of the Vince Russo brand. So anybody out there who is a brand member, obviously you're very familiar with it. Those of you who are not, Vince Russo has a thing called VinceRussoBrand.com, and you can go on there and you can check our show. We normally post every Friday, the Andre Corbeil Show. You can also check me out on my Twitter, which is at Helms Randy, and that's HelmsRandy, Helms Randy. Talk a lot wrestling. I'm a fanatic on the hashtag thing. I love to try to dab into the comedy side a little bit. Not that I'm very good at it, but I give it a shot. So that's me in a nutshell, brother.
Nice.
Oh, and I'm a guitar player. I got to put that out there, too.
So put that out there. Put that out there, Randy.
35-something years playing.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You're a regular Jimi Hendrix.
I wish I was.
You put the LSD up in your headband or what?
Yeah, I put acid inside my headband. So, you know that's what he used to do, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. So, he used to put it in his headband because when it sweats and it goes into the eyes,
right,
it gets into your system faster.
That's right.
Definitely.
It was 4
That's what I do.
Him all day long, I guess.
Yeah, so. Good old Jimi Hendrix. So when you were doing Top of Texas Wrestling, were you an actual character on TV or whatever they do?
Well, yeah, well, they didn't have TV, obviously. They were just a local independent, but they're part of the NWA network out there. And, we ran I met those guys, and the very first weekend I was in Amarillo, I was out there for 4 months on a work detail. Sounds like prison.
I was out there for work furlough.
I got the weekends off. I went up there and I approached the owner and I mentioned to him, hey, I've worked for, Paul Levesque, and I've got an idea for a storyline that possibly you might, guys might want to run with. I said, how about I just sit out in the crowd? I said, and I'll pretend to be taking notes. I said, and I'll act like, you know, I'm scouting talent. I said, and then your ring announcer and maybe your assistant general manager can come up to me the first night and say, hey, we see you taking notes. What's going on? And I can just kind of play it off that, you know, I'm looking at future talent, hoping to get some folks on TV. Now, at no point did I ever say anything, you know, as far as WWE, because I was going to stay far away from that as possible. So we never, ever even mentioned WWE. The only thing I mentioned was I used to work for a major wrestling corporation at one point in time, and we left it at that, you know, to the imagination. And as each week progressed, I went from actually sitting in the audience to actually sitting behind the announcer's table and taking notes. And so about 6 weeks went by, and I finally got into the ring one night, and I announced that who I, you know, the fans all kind of had, some of them had been talking to me, and they knew what I was quote-unquote doing. And so I picked a wrestler, and I said that, you know, this is the guy who I think is going to be the next big thing. And he was a masked wrestler, El Josho. And his character spoke no English. The only thing he could say is Joshua numero uno, CC Joshua numero uno, uno. So now the funny thing is, a lot of times when I was saying stuff, Josh did not have a mic in front of his hand, and only him and I were standing there. And as I'm talking on the microphone, cracking jokes, trying to make me laugh, you know, and he got very close one night to actually making me, you know, but I guess break kayfabe and start cracking up laughing, one of the things he said, because I had told him in the ring that he really needed to get better with his mic skills, since he didn't speak English. And under his breath, where I can hear him, he says, Mike, I know Mike, he's a good guy. And I mean, I almost fell out laughing. You know, I had to, like, put my hand over my mouth. But the bottom line of the story was I ended up having my best friend from Oklahoma came over to visit me, and we went to a very famous restaurant in Amarillo, the Big Texan, and we shot a video, a vignette in there, of him and I talking, and I gave myself up and said that I had been lying to these guys about I was recruiting talent, and we acted like I didn't know it was being recorded on a cell phone, and he showed up, you know, a couple weeks later, sat in the crowd, and he gave the video to the assistant, you know, one of the assistants, and they showed it up on the screen. And then the wrestler tried to beat me up, and I told him if he hit me, I would sue him, and I would sue Top of Texas and Bruce Starp and all of NWA. And so the ring announcer, who I picked on all the time, the fans hated me. I mean, they booed me like you would not believe. They loved the wrestler, hated me, which was great. That's what we wanted. Well, the ring announcer, Rocky, he proceeded to, you know, tell the wrestler, yeah, don't touch him. He's not a contracted wrestler. And I said, thank you. You finally said something right. He goes, and I'm not a contracted wrestler either. And bam, you know, knee to the gut. And
that's perfect.
Then he drops an elbow on my back, and I powder out of the ring, and I'm screaming and yelling at my best friend and calling him an idiot for doing it. And the next week I came back out there, and I apologized to the fans, and we did the famous, you know, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man handshake, you know, and did the hug. And I did that just in case I ever show back up in Amarillo. I thought, you know, I want to go out on a good note. But it was so much fun. Oh man, it was great. So
that's awesome, man. That sounds like a good time. That's pretty cool that you got that experience, you know. I mean, yeah. You work for the big boys, but you never had the chance to, like, get in the ring and kind of, you know, talk some smack.
And, you know, and the boys out there, I meant, they were – you know, they're a good bunch of group of guys out there, just some young independent wrestlers. And you know, anybody that knows independent wrestling, you know, these guys could not make money at all. And to see the passion that's in their eyes to want to go out there and perform for, you know, nickels and dimes, I mean, and do it each and every single week, because they put a show on every Saturday night. And, you know, they charge next to nothing. I mean, it's like $10 to get in. I mean, so you can't beat it. $10 and you get 2.5 hours worth of wrestling. And, you know, some of these guys were a little green, and, you know, so to the average person who doesn't understand it, they probably wouldn't notice that. Now, somebody You know, and I want to say, like, myself, you know, I would watch some of the matches in the back. I'd be watching on the TV. And, you know, when they'd come back, I'd say, hey, you know, I'll just let you know, man, when you did this and that, man, you didn't sell that at all, bro. I mean, you know, you got to work on that. You know, not that I know anything, because I really don't. But I was like, I was told them, I said, I'm telling you from a fan's eye. I said, I'll give you feedback, but I'm giving you feedback is from a guy who watches it and loves it and can tell you what I think works and what doesn't work. You know, I don't know crap, but you know what? I can pretend it.
When you were with the WWE, did you ever witness or overhear somebody doing that to a wrestler?
The closest that I ever heard anything like that was, you know, whenever Raw or SmackDown was in the vicinity of Connecticut or New York, I would, Upper New York, let me say, I would go down to the show, and, you know, I would
You were an office boy, huh?
Yeah, I was an office boy, and so, I mean, the only time I would go would be like that, and of course, I was there for the whole week of WrestleMania, but when I would get there early a lot of times, and so, you know, I would hear the road agents, you know, telling the dudes, you know, I'd hear like Arn Anderson or Joey Mercury or Road Dogg or whatever. I'd hear them telling the guys, you know, different things that they were doing wrong or right, you know, as far as, you know, maybe like, hey, last night when, you know, like maybe I'm on a SmackDown taping and they're talking about a match that they had the night before at Raw, they might be talking about it, you know, and I would hear some of that. Now, that's about the most I ever heard.
That's cool, though. Yeah. That's still pretty cool. You still got kind of in the trenches a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed when I got to go to the shows. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, you would think when I was backstage that I was, like, you know, busting my hump. But to be honest with you, most of the time, I was just, hey, whatever you need me to do, I'll do. And a lot of times it was like, you know, bring people to the back, you know, special guests, maybe somebody won a radio contest or something like that. So I would bring them back there and, you know, introduce them to different wrestlers while they were waiting to do whatever they were going to do. Like maybe they're supposed to meet you know, Triple H, and he's busy and creative doing something. I'll keep him occupied meeting some of the other wrestlers until he frees up, and then bring him over and they get, you know, their photo op and get a chance to talk with him for a few minutes or whatever. And he was always great about going, you know, if he was slotted, say, for like 5 minutes to talk to somebody, he would talk to him for about 10 or 15, man. He was notorious for that, for going over the amount of time, you know, that they had kind of put down on the sheet. And I always thought that was pretty cool that he did that. Because, you know, maybe, you know, whether you like him or you don't like him, you know, I know Paul, you know. We all see Triple H on TV. I know Paul. And I can tell you, Paul is as passionate about professional wrestling than anyone else I've ever met in my life. That guy lives it, breathes it every single day. And it was so cool to be in that office and watch his mind at work. And I'm telling you, that whole I love watching NXT because I got to see it from basically, you know, it had been around for a while, but I got to watch it when it really started to, you know, the seed had been planted, they had been watered, and all of a sudden now you're starting to see some growth in the tree. And that's what I got to see, is when the tree started to, like, oh, that's a tree. And you, because when I got there in 2012, they had not yet secured a deal for TV here in the United States. It still was only being shown overseas, and you would have to find it on YouTube. And then all of a sudden they were able to secure the deal with, you know, the network coming up at some point. You know, I mean, I left before the network started, but I was able to sit there and watch, you know, the development of the Performance Center. And, you know, I went down to Full Sail, like I told you, I think on a previous show. You know, I got to go down there one time and watch them do three nights of taping. Well, one night, but three separate shows in one night. To watch Paul Levesque, and that was his baby, and it still is. I mean, you could tell. He's a different dude when he's on NXT than what you see. You know what I mean? You could tell there's a difference. So yeah, even all those pictures he posts of him sitting behind the monitor and stuff, he is that's his baby.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely is.
So you'll never hear me say a bad word about that guy or Stephanie or Vince or any of them. I will never criticize the WWE. I mean, I may criticize the product as far as like what's on TV, but the company itself, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, I'm glad that, you know, you've been in the trenches and you're able to come back and kind of tell the story a little bit.
Yeah, I survived. I have post-traumatic, I should know this. I mean, I was in the Army. I had it.
Yeah, post-WWE.
I always just said PTSD, so, you know, I have post-wrestling disorder. So.
Nice. The New World Disorder.
Sounds like I got to hit the bathroom or something. I got a little bit of a disorder going on right now.
Let's talk about this whole new draft situation here.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, before that, let me just ask you a quick opinion on the Cruiserweight Classic so far. What are you thinking about this? Because you mentioned how NXT is Triple H's baby. Well, this is kind of his second child here.
Okay,
and
so
he's taking care of this.
Yeah, let me say this. I haven't watched episode 2 yet. Because
I haven't either. I forgot about it.
Yeah.
I totally
unfortunately,
slipped my mind.
I saw one of the results of the matches, so which is fine. I mean,
yeah, so did I. But you know what?
I
want to
watch it for
fault.
The rest. The first episode, I loved it. I don't. What did you think?
I loved it too. It's amazing. This whole concept is just something that I've been dreaming about, you know, for 15 years.
Yeah, it's I'll tell you, if they keep it like they're doing it, I mean, I really don't want to see the. I don't want to see the Cruiserweights actually come on Raw or SmackDown or NXT. I want them to be a separate entity. Have their own little show.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You know what though? They need to fill some time on Raw. So
yeah,
you know,
true, very true.
They do. They definitely do.
I'm just scared it's going to be like WCW. You know, when they brought the Cruiserweights in, it just got. I hope not, because you know when they brought the Cruiserweights in, it started out great, and then it got to where it was like, oh man, it's the same guys wrestling each other. You know.
Well, I feel like WCW did a pretty decent job. TNA kind of let it get away from them, though.
Yeah, I've not been a real big TNA follower. I mean, I've tried to get into it recently with, especially, you know, working with Andre and Sharia as our TNA expert, and they have both convinced me, and I've started, and my landlord's finally switched cable company around a little bit, and I finally was able to get Pop Network. So I have started watching TNA. I won't say that I am able to watch it every single week, but I have watched it several times, and you know it's gotten a lot better than what it was. I mean, I'll admit that it has gotten a lot better. I think they're doing good stuff. The whole Hardy stuff is unbelievable.
Yeah,
that's just
unbelievable. Is a good
man,
word to describe it.
Insanely good.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty good. It's pretty crazy stuff, man. The whole TNA Hardy Boy stuff. But yeah, so let me ask you, who do you think is going to be the final two, and who do you think is going to take it all?
Oh, wow. I'll be honest with you, it's really too early to tell, because I have a feeling knowing WWE, they're gonna throw a swerve, and I'll tell you what, give me a couple weeks and I'll hit you back up. I guess when it gets closer.
I will tell you who I think it is, just so you can keep an eye out and see how they do. I think the finals is going to come down to Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi, and I feel like the winner is going to be Kota Ibushi.
I'm sorry, I
take that back. Zack Sabre Jr. is going to win.
No, I will say I agree with you on Ibushi. I think Ibushi will be in the final. Not sure if he will win. I kind of wonder if they may go with a, you know, they may go with a dark horse. You know, get it down to the final four, and then throw a curve at you and put a dark horse in there against Ibushi in the final. So
yeah, I would love to see Ho-Ho Loon take it all. He's my new favorite wrestler just because he's so cocky. He comes out with a T-shirt that says "I am cool" on it.
Yeah,
I like that guy. He's from Hong Kong, China, and I interviewed a Chinese promoter who knows him, and we talked about him a little bit, and I've been reading about him, and I really like the kid. He's doing some good stuff in China, and I know WWE's trying to get a good relationship with China, so I'm sure Ho-Ho Loon will do really good. I don't think he's going to win, but I think he'll at least go one more round.
You're probably right on that. I definitely think you're right on that one. So
yeah, all right. So first of all, Monday night, Shane and Stephanie were supposed to announce their GMs. Now, we all know that WWE goofed up and let it slip that the Yes Movement's coming to SmackDown.
Yeah, they
saw that a couple of days before. Did you see that?
Yeah, they did.
they totally let it goof up. Nonetheless, I still feel like Daniel Bryan got a tremendous, tremendous pop when he came out. What did you think of the decisions to bring in Daniel Bryan and Mick Foley as respected general managers?
It's not what I thought was going to happen. I had
The Foley surprised me.
I predicted that Stephanie was going to pick Triple H as her general manager. And then I thought the very last pick on the draft, Shane would then draft Triple H over to SmackDown, and there would be controversy, and Vince would have to say, well, technically, everybody was free game. So, Triple H, you're now on SmackDown as a wrestler, and then Stephanie would have had to get a different general manager, and I thought maybe, you know, she might throw something out there. It might be Paul Heyman, might be Eric Bischoff, it might be somebody like that. But so I was shocked when Mick Foley came out. That was it wasn't a pop like I was like, oh my gosh, hey, it's Mick Foley. It was more like, it's Mick Foley. Okay, didn't see that coming.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. In fact, I feel like their dynamic's going to be kind of weird because she's there going, oh, you people are so stupid, I hate you all. And he's just kind of standing there going, oh, hi, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this weird heel face dynamic. I mean, I feel like she should have got a heel, but I don't know. I mean,
I think so, too. I mean, here's the thing about Mick Foley. When he was general manager, he had a nice little run. But then it started getting old because it was kind of like Rowdy Piper, you know, and you know, I'm not dissing Rowdy Piper at all, but if you ever watched Rowdy Piper 15 years after his prime, he was still doing the same shtick and he's still giving the same one-liners, and it was like, okay, dude, I've heard this, and that's what I'm scared about Foley. It's going to be the same old Mick Foley, and it's just going to get old very quick.
If you've listened to Roddy Piper's podcast the last year of his life, he was still giving the same one-liners.
Oh, I was at MCW, which is now MCW Pro.
Oh, were you there when he did the final Piper's Pit?
Yeah, his final Piper's Pit. He was in the ring with Kevin Eck. Kevin Eck actually is a former writer of WWE. I mean, we actually were in the company at the same time. We weren't great friends or anything like that, but we knew each other. Huh? I mean, you know, we'd pass and say hello or whatever, and he got called up to, you know, H's office on occasion. So, I mean, we knew each other. But, yeah, I was at that show when Piper did his finals, Piper's Pit, and which actually was really, really good. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw it on YouTube. So, it's pretty cool.
Hey, you saw me then.
did I? Were you on screen?
No. No, I'm just... I was in the audience, you know.
I saw you on the Andre Corbeil show before.
Oh, I know. Don't I look good on there?
Oh, yeah, you're fantastic. do you think...
I look better than a Canadian, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. You know, I used to like it when Andre was on the Vince Russo podcast on
Tigers, Bears, and Dirt. Yeah.
And Vince would just bury the crap out of Andre, and it was just hilarious. It was hilarious. Yeah.
I gotten buried once by Vince myself.
Yeah, so. I remember that. Don't ever let Andre drive you to the airport.
Yeah, don't let Randy drive you to the airport. Oh my gosh, yeah. He still occasionally will say something about that privately. So
you know what? It's funny because I think that was the last time I had you on the show. You told me that was going to happen.
Yeah,
and I remember listening to it. Just like I loved it. It was great.
Oh yeah, Jasmine St. Clair and I occasionally will talk about that as well because she was in the car, and so.
Oh, nice. So. Pillow talk? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Do you think at all that this whole Mick Foley thing is kind of a, I don't want to say publicity stunt, but I guess hype for his new sitcom coming to the WWE Network?
You know, I had not thought about that. And you know what, though? Wow. That's spot on. That is.
Yeah, I mean, keep him relevant, right? So people will watch the show.
You are correct, because the last time they brought him out at one point, it was always because he was promoting books. So, you know what? You're right. I guarantee it's a deal that they made, and I think they also, they want to probably, at some point, WWE is going to want to do something really seriously with his daughter, you know, because she does have a nice following.
Yeah, she does.
And so they, with the network, I could see them doing something with his daughter at some point.
The maybe problem even, with her being like an interviewer or something, she's, I don't think she'll be a pro wrestler because, you know, she's like 23, 24. It's kind of late in the game. But the problem with her being an interviewer is that she's so tall and she'll make all the rest look so small.
I could actually see the WWE Network bringing Foley and his whole family on the network and doing a reality show on the network following the Foleys, you know?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I would watch it. I mean, I'd give it a shot.
I'd give it a shot too. They have a fun dynamic. They're a fun family.
Especially if that clown is on there. That I can't remember what his name is.
Frank the clown.
Yeah, Frank the clown.
Yeah, he's my buddy on Twitter.
Okay, cool.
I should get him on the podcast. Actually, I just thought of that.
Okay, yeah, you should. You should.
Tell him, hey, you know what? I know it's audio, but can you still paint your face?
Yeah. You take a picture, a selfie, and post it, please.
Yeah, definitely.
I have to hook me up with that guy. He's a nice. I see him. You know, I see him occasionally on Twitter. I should probably follow him. That's what I'll do.
Yeah. He's definitely a quirky guy. Definitely a quirky guy. So let's get to the draft, shall we? Since we talked about the GMs, we had that controversial finish on Raw with the WWE Championship match. And we had to follow up on the WWE Network. It was a double pin, and I thought how ironic because everybody's been talking about, well, what if they do a double pin and that creates two belts? And they totally did a double pin. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Stephanie announced Seth as the champion, and it was tune in tomorrow night for the rematch between Seth and Dean. So we have that hanging over our heads, the big rematch. So the draft, I was confused by how the draft went. It went Raw, SmackDown, Raw, SmackDown, Raw. And that was every round. Mm-hmm. And I guess it made more sense once I saw it happen, but on paper I was like, what is going on here?
Well, you remember they announced it on, when they first announced it, they said for every
two picks that SmackDown Raw has.
And so I thought what's going to happen was Raw was going to pick first, and then I thought SmackDown would pick two people. Then Raw would pick three people. That's how I thought.
Oh yeah.
And then that's what. And then when they started doing it, I said, "Oh, okay, I see what they're doing now."
Right. That I didn't get it when it was when they put it on paper. I didn't get it, but you know, I kind of saw what they were doing when they actually did it. So the first overall pick is no surprise to anybody. Seth Rollins got picked to Raw. What did you think of Seth Rollins being the first overall pick?
I called it. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, very I think obvious. It would be either him or Dean.
You know.
And then Dean was the second overall pick.
That actually, I'm not going to say it shocked me, but I kind of was not sure whether or not they would pick the champions or they would lead the champions out of it and say that the champions could rotate back and forth between the shows. When they picked Dean to SmackDown, then I said, okay, it's obvious to me they're going to end up having two. They're going to have two different titles, at least on the male side of the house, you know. So that I said, okay, there you go.
Would you rather see two titles or would you rather see one title?
I'd rather see two.
Just to keep them separate.
To keep them separate, and the reason is since they're going to have separate pay-per-views. Otherwise, what is the purpose of me watching a pay-per-view if? Let's say Raw doesn't have a champion and the biggest match of the night is for the Intercontinental title. Sorry, we're not in the 80s where the Intercontinental title meant something. So no, you know, no disrespect to current Intercontinental title holder, The Miz, but I'm just saying it doesn't have the same feel that it had in the 80s when you had Hogan as the champ and Ultimate Warrior as the IC holder. You know, the belt meant something. It seemed like it did back then. So,
yeah, it was definitely the real world title because we all knew that Hogan's belt was untouchable and
right.
It would always be on Hogan. And so the Intercontinental title kind of was like the people's world title.
That's right. You're right. So, I mean, I have a feeling, you know, as soon as they said Seth, I said, okay, yeah, they're definitely going. I mean, I kind of already figured it when they did the double pin. I said, okay, that's their cheesy way out of getting two different titles, but they're going to drag it out a little bit, I guess, till the pay-per-view, and then the following Monday and Tuesday nights. But so, yeah, when they picked Seth, I said, okay, there you go. Writing's on the wall now.
WWE also announced, well, I guess Stephanie announced, that the Cruiserweight division was going to be revamped and brought to Monday Night Raw. And at first, I was really upset. I was like, what? The Cruiserweight division should be on SmackDown because Shane promised change. He promised, like, more of a wrestler, you know, emphasis on the wrestlers and not the GMs. And so
right.
on paper, you would think, oh, well, the Cruiserweight division would fit right in on SmackDown. But Raw does have an extra hour, and we do need to fill more time. And I think a few Cruiserweight matches here and there would do that. What are your thoughts on the Cruiserweight division coming back to Raw?
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I mean, it would be nice if they're going to bring the Cruiserweights, you know, maybe have some on SmackDown and have some on Raw. I mean, I see why they're doing it on Raw, because they've got to fill the time, obviously. But I agree with you as far as it makes more sense to put them on SmackDown, especially since you've got Daniel Bryan on SmackDown, and he is one of the announcers on the show.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, too, like, how easy would it have been for Daniel Bryan to pull Shane aside, be like, hey, Shane, you know, I'm part of the Cruiserweight Classic. They're doing great things. I really think we should bring some of these guys.
Yeah, I got my eye on a couple guys, and then Shane could be like, well, Daniel, I trust you. Let's give it a couple weeks, and then come back to me about it, you know?
Yeah, totally. I agree. And then on the flip side, Stephanie, instead of saying the Cruiserweight division is coming back, she should have said, I personally had my hand in rebuilding the women's revolution, and I want them to come to Raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Exclusively. Yeah.
Exclusively. The women's division would be exclusive to Raw. The Cruiserweights would be exclusive to SmackDown. I think that's a little bit better, but we'll see what happens.
The reason why
I bring the Cruiserweight division up to you now is because Raw's next pick was 190 pounds of Finn Balor. Now, do you think Finn Balor will be pigeonholed into the Cruiserweight division?
I had not thought about him being in the Cruiserweight. I still think they got big plans for him. I think they obviously realized, you know, he's got history with, you know, two of the three members of the club. He doesn't have history with AJ Styles. I don't really know my New Japan wrestling very well. I'll admit that right now. But if
it's
I
okay, really, I'll walk you through it.
But if please do it with subtitles. if I understood it correctly, at no point in time was AJ and Finn actually part of the Bullet Club at the same time, right?
Finn, correct. AJ replaced Finn.
That's what I thought. Okay, so. I think they're still going to end up doing some. I don't think they're going to do that right away, though. I think that's just too obvious. They're going to hold that off for a while. I see them pushing Finn, not at first for a tight, you know, a world title. I see him going after, it's the U.S. heavyweight that's on there. So yeah, so going after.
Yeah, they got Rusev.
Yeah, going after the U.S. heavyweight. So. You know, or maybe even getting into something with Sheamus, or getting into, you know, get his feet wet a little bit, and then start pushing him towards bigger and better things. But I hadn't thought about the Cruiserweight part of it. I think if they do that, there'll be too much backlash from the fans if they do that.
See, here's the thing, though. When Finn Balor, a.k.a. Prince Devitt, was in New Japan Pro Wrestling, he never held the world title. He was multiple-time junior heavyweight champion, which is their equivalent of the Cruiserweight title. But their junior heavyweight title is kind of, you know, a top-tier belt. It's not just like, oh, the Cruiserweight belt, blah, blah, blah. It's a top-tier belt. So for him to hold the junior heavyweight title was still a big deal, and it was still, like, something for him to have. So I feel like if they really, really build the Cruiserweight title up, Maybe he could hold it for a little while.
Yeah, that
and
would
bring some prestige to it.
Yeah, that would. If he held the title and was untouchable, you know, like he was in NXT for so long.
Well, he has. Eventually he'll turn heel and he'll have two muscles.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you've always got some other folks down there in NXT that can come up at any point in time
And but see, Gallows and Anderson are also on Drafts of the Raw.
Right, and I mean, I could definitely see them at some point bringing up, I'm pitching
Nakamura.
It. Nakamura. What's TNA, former TNA guy, I'm sitting here, his face is right in front of me.
Bobby Roode?
Nah, well,
Austin Aries, Bobby Samoa Roode. Joe, Eric Young, James Storm?
Short dude.
Eric Young, no, Austin Aries.
Austin Aries, thank you. I mean, I was sitting there, you know, he's got that beard that looks like he painted it on.
Did you see the Austin Aries rumors that were going around the internet?
No, I didn't.
Apparently, there was rumors that Austin Aries no-showed the last set of NXT tapings.
Really?
Yeah, but a couple days ago, he put out a tweet that said, "I did not no-show NXT tapings. I was there. I just didn't, you know, have anything going on," or whatever, you know, he said. But he confirmed he was there. So
my beard was not totally drawn in yet, and so
the ink hadn't dried.
I have the Hulk Hogan NWA Hollywood Hogan beard going on, brother. I mean that would work though. I mean, if they brought Finn up and gave him a cruiserweight championship. I see what you're saying. Yeah, they could build that up, and then you could eventually even have and I don't want to say this because I don't want to steal from TNA, but you could have the, hey, you're the cruiserweight champ, and I want to go for the title. Well, you got to relinquish the cruiserweight title to go for the heavyweight.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that gimmick.
Oh, you know they're gonna do it though.
They better not do it. the rumored names for the cruiserweight division are guys like Grand Metalik, Zack Sabre Jr., Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, you know, on top of who they already have. So do you think that this cruiserweight division could kind of be a successful thing, or do you think that WWE will get bored of it like they have in the past?
No, I think the fan base right now will get all behind it, because right now your WWE fan base is independent wrestling smart. And, you know, so us older guys like myself, I have gradually started getting into the independent, you know, stuff, where the younger guys like yourself have been watching this nonstop for the last several years, the Ring of Honors, the New Japans, you know.
The Pro Wrestling Guerrillas.
Yes, all that stuff. And you guys know these dudes. And so by them starting to get their break, you know, you guys are going to go for them, you know, more than what we're going to go for, which is, you know, the standard heavyweight championship, U.S. heavyweight championship, blah blah blah. So yeah, I think it would be a major success, and I don't think WWE actually would get bored with it very quick, because it's going to bring money in. It's definitely going to bring money.
I feel like with all these steroids controversies happening, and drug testing, and concussions and injuries, I feel like the cruiserweights have a chance to shine, because they probably won't be getting busted for steroids. And, you know, they probably won't be getting injured that much because they're used to doing their style. And it's kind of the wave of the future, really.
Well, you know what it kind of reminds me of is when WWE brought in the hardcore title. And they brought in, you know, and the thing, the premise was, you know, that title is always got to be defended 24 hours a day. You know, and everybody, every single week, loved watching the different guys that were going for the hardcore title, whether it was Al Snow or it was Crash Holly
or
Hardcore Holly, or, you know, even there was a female that actually even
The Godfather's
Ho
won it.
So
Jazz too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but it was like that was fun to watch, you know. And I think they could do the same with the cruiserweights. They could really make it very interesting. You know, you don't have to have a lot of storyline. It's more about the matches. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, yeah, I think you might be right. Finn Balor might be the lead on that.
Yeah, rumor also has it that the winner of the Cruiserweight Classic will be the first Cruiserweight champion. So that could be pretty interesting, too, to see where they go from there.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right, so let's move on. WWE drafted Charlotte as well. I kind of skipped over her. I'm sorry, Monday Night Raw drafted Charlotte as well. They seem to have gotten the better on the women. But like I said, Raw's 3 hours, they have more time to fill.
Right. A little bit more time to build storylines with the women, which
you know,
they got
to
do.
Wouldn't it have been better for them to have the equal amount of draft picks
and then just say, okay, well, since Raw is 3 hours, they also get the Cruiserweight division on top of that. I mean, it's just the draft just seems so, like, weird, just the way it was set up.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they were looking at it more as if we have more, you know, we got an extra hour to fill, so we're going to have at least three additional matches per show. Generally three, maybe some nights it'd only be two or whatever. So we've got, that's, you know, 4 to 8 people, depending on if it's a tag or not. So we've got to have a few extra bodies there in case somebody gets hurt or injured. We've got the live shows we got to do, and not everybody, you know, does the live shows. I meant, so
I just, my complaint is they're trying to put these two shows on a level playing field. They're trying to say Raw and SmackDown are not equal. You know, there's no B show. There's two A shows, but Raw's 3 hours.
Well, how about
Raw
this?
Got more draft picks? Raw got the first pick.
Would you have rather? How about this? What about if they would have on Raw gets the Cruiserweights and equal draft picks, with the exception of the Cruiserweights. The Cruiserweights will be done on a separate day. The Cruiserweights are from 8 to 9. Raw is 9 to 11 or 11:15, and then SmackDown is 8 to 10. So in other words, you get 1 hour of Cruiserweights.
You know, I've heard that idea before. I kind of like it, but I kind of don't, just because that kind of separates the Cruiserweights all on an island to their own. Mm-hmm. Now, like you said, though, you wanted to see them completely separated. Earlier on, you said
right.
that. But I feel like if you separate them, then they for sure have no room for growth. You know, and a guy like Finn Balor could come in, he could win the Cruiserweight title, he could get some steam, get some heat behind him, you know, turn heel, join Gallows and Anderson, and eventually go for the world title.
Yeah, I mean, I really think at some point, yeah, Finn Balor's going to hook up with Gallows and Anderson, and it's going to end up being those three going against, and I'll tell you, I think it's going to end up being AJ, Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, and it's going to be like a TNA type of thing, you know.
Oh, you know, I hadn't thought about that. That
and
would be awesome.
And I think that leads into WrestleMania. And here's what I had said on another show: you've got those three, the three I just mentioned. You have a reunited Shield, and you have a reunited Wyatt family, and the main event at WrestleMania. And so, in a cage or something like that. Two cages.
Well, wouldn't it be the main event? Because the world title should be the main
event.
Well,
yeah, true. But I mean,
it would
be like
a main event. Yeah, I can see
event,
that.
And you have all those dudes. I mean, you have an entities of three, and you have some type of, you know, gimmick style match, with it being a cage or something.
Are you
going
to say War Games?
Yeah, a War Game style. That would be awesome. And the fans would love every minute of it.
Yeah, no, that would be like the tremendous dream come true match right there.
Yep. So I mean,
even if it's just the TNA guys versus the Balor Club in a cage, that would be amazing too.
Yeah, you know, I think they could pull it off. I really do.
That'd be pretty cool. I don't know if it would be a WrestleMania match, but it definitely would be something. It would definitely be a spectacle.
Let me see if I can find my number for the office, and I'll call him right now and suggest.
Yeah, call him up. Get Triple H on three-way here. We'll ask him what he thinks about the Cruiserweight division.
That's not the book. Never mind.
I would definitely love to ask Triple H, how does he feel about Shane McMahon kind of coming in and taking credit for the new Angus T call-ups, the Enzo and Cass, and all these guys. Remember when Shane brought those guys in?
Yeah.
That was great, because, you know, it was Triple H's guys, and he brought them in.
Oh, of course.
Like, they're his guys.
Yeah, well, you know, he's sitting backstage at Gorilla with his headphones on and his iced coffee, and so, you know, jacket off, but shirt and tie. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he is. Him and Vince, him and Pop sitting side by side.
Hey, pal. Be easy what you talk about, pal. And don't sneeze around me, but pal. Control it.
Oh, he hates sneezing because it's a bodily function you can't control.
Yeah. Trust me, I know.
I've heard that.
I was.
Oh, have you seen? Have you witnessed this?
I was told when I first got there, do your best not to sneeze.
I've heard, like former writers on podcasts going how, like, Vince would kind of, like, cuss himself out under his breath if he ever sneezed.
Oh, I don't know about that. I never heard him sneeze.
God damn it.
I was told by another guy in the office that if you can humanly possibly help it,
don't sneeze if you, you know, hold it back because, you know, it's not one of his favorite things, you know. He's not going to dime you out or nothing like that, but, you know.
But he'll definitely remember it.
So.
Another Vince-ism that I love that I've heard was that on his private corporate jet, he has a bowl of M&Ms. Do you know about this?
I was on that jet once before. He was not on it. I did not see any M&Ms.
Okay. Well, I've heard that if there's a bowl of M&Ms on this jet, you do not reach your hand and scoop the M&Ms out. You're supposed to pick up the bowl and dump them into your hand.
I can't confirm or deny it because the only time I flew on the jet, there was no M&Ms on the jet. So I don't know.
He probably keeps them with him.
I mean,
I'm just kidding.
I can tell you I was on the jet with Triple H. I was on the jet with King and Cena and several other people, but there was no M&Ms. So how awesome is
their private jet then?
It was nice. I mean, it was nice. I mean, you know, nice leather seats and everything. But we had it pretty crowded. I mean, because you know, we're all going down to the NXT stuff, and so we had the head writer at the time that was on there.
Was it Ryan Ward or no?
Yeah, it was Ryan Ward. And there was going down, I think we had like maybe two empty seats, but coming back we were full. Because there was two production guys that were down there that caught a ride back. They had gone straight from SmackDown over to the Orlando area and taped some vignettes and stuff. And then stuck around for the Thursday tapings, and so they flew back with us. But it was, it was one of the surreal moments when you're on the plane and you're like, wow, I'm on the WWE corporate jet. This is pretty cool, you know. But then it was like, okay, it's just another airplane flight. So you know, it's like nothing special going on. I mean, you know, there is one stewardess on there, and it's not like you're getting caviar and champagne like you'd think. No, it was like, you know, you want a Coke? Yeah, sure. You know, a bottle of water? Yeah, great. You know, so. Got a little bag
like
of
fun,
peanuts,
though.
You know, thanks.
So. No bag of peanuts. Hey, last time I was on a plane, there was no peanuts. There were cookies. A little bag of mini cookies.
Yeah, you get the Biscoff cookies.
Yeah, and a little bottle of water.
Those things are the bomb, man. I ate them in Europe, in the Netherlands is where they came from, and I was stationed in Europe 12 years off and on through my 20-year career. Oh, I've been eating. I go to the Walmart and pick up the Biscoff cookies. Actually, the real name of them is Spekulaus. And I'm going to do my Dutch, my best Dutch imitation. Heel lekker. Heel lekker means really good. So
you mean your Dutch Mantel impression?
Yeah, it's dirty.
Dutch.
No, ik spreek een kleine beetje Nederlands. So I speak a little bit of Dutch. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
A language that only you and Dutch Mantel can understand.
And
so SmackDown ended up taking AJ Styles, John Cena.
That was a Becky no. Lynch. You knew they were going to take Cena.
Yeah, you kind of did. And I knew they were going to take AJ. I mean, it wasn't a big the first few picks weren't a big surprise. Finn Balor was a big surprise to me just because I didn't expect him to get drafted, only because he was being so vocal about being drafted. I'm like, oh, well, he's talking about it, so it's not going to happen.
I didn't think, you know, I knew he would get drafted. I'll be honest, I didn't realize they were going to draft him so high.
Yeah, they drafted him like above Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens was pissed.
Yeah, which okay, that's, you know, that's a good thing, though. Think about it. That's a storyline.
Yeah, definitely. Kevin Owens, Finn Balor could come out on Monday Night Raw this coming Monday and be like, oh my goodness, it's so good to be drafted. It's so good to be on Monday Night Raw.
And all of a sudden,
I love it.
Kevin Owens. You think you're
all
hot crap.
Here comes, yep, here comes Kevin Owens going, who the hell do you think you are?
Yep. And as Vince Russo would say, here comes the gardener. So
here comes.
He looks like a gardener.
I hang on every word that Vince Russo says, okay? And he did this podcast where he said, I'm going to break down Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Yes,
I agree. Sami Zayn looks like an Uber driver, yes.
Yes, he does. He looks like with that Brian Johnson AC/DC hat going.
And the checkerboard on his tights.
Yes,
he does.
But Kevin Owens does not look like a gardener. I just don't see that.
I do. I see him coming out there. He's got like the, you know, half shorts, half pants. You know, I don't know what they are. You know,
it's, they're basketball shorts.
He's
coming. Buy them at Target for $10.
He's never taken his shirt off once that I've ever seen. I mean, you know,
I guess I could see it because of the shirt with no sleeves.
I mean, you know, normally when you wear a shirt in professional wrestling, it's because you're overweight. And so it's, you know, it's pretty obvious that, you know, could Kevin Owens take me in a wrestling ring? Oh, of course he could, you know, but, you know, I'm overweight.
But could he take you in a garden?
But he could. No, he couldn't. I would mow over that dude. Trust me. I can do some mad skills in a garden. Trust me.
Nice. So anyways, I guess we have a solid draft. I don't really need to go over every pick. Who do you think went the best overall, Raw or SmackDown?
That's a good question. That is a really good question. I want to say I really think SmackDown did the better job. I think they have a better possibility of storyline. And I think time will tell if that's the truth. But I think SmackDown actually, Raw has a lot of folks on there that I enjoy, you know, watching. So, you know, they're still going to keep my interest, and I'm interested to see what they're going to do with certain people. But SmackDown, I kind of was like, okay, you got some big name players. You didn't get all the big name players, but you got enough to, I think, kind of take it to the next level. And so we'll see what happens. And I think a lot of it, and people may get upset about this, John Cena is going to be a focal point on that show to really help push it to where it needs to go. Anybody that gets in the ring with John Cena, that dude is gold. I mean, that guy will make you shine.
He really, really is not very selfish in the ring these days.
No, he's not.
I mean, not that he was before, but he's even less selfish now.
He will put you over. Now, the only thing that if I had a chance to talk to John Cena and John Cena was to say, Randy Helms, tell me what you think I should do. That's not a really good John Cena imitation. But I would say the one thing, John Cena, you need to do is cover your mouth when you're in the ring, because I can hear everything that you're saying to the other wrestler. And it's, you know, it's, and it kind of makes me mad when I hear you say, you know, duck two, take one. I mean, so it's like, dude, put your mouth to his shoulder. Because he's gotten lackadaisical with it. I mean, he just, because the crowd.
Yeah, he's gotten comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And the cameras are HD.
Yeah.
And there's microphones everywhere. And it's really hard. And he has short hair.
Yeah.
You know, it is hard for him to hide it. But I feel like he could hide it
do a little bit better of a job in hiding it, you know. The average wrestling fan, I mean, I sat there and watched it numerous nights, you know. When I first moved up here, I lived with a real good friend of mine that I've known for over 20 years. His wife had passed away, you know, and when I moved here to the Virginia area, he was like, you know, hey, I've got an extra room, you know, if you want to move in with me. His daughter considers me an uncle, you know, and so I got her into, you know, wrestling. And so, immediately I was like, you know, hey, Monday nights, we got to watch wrestling, you know. And so I took her to a show and got her interested in it, and she still watches it. And her name is Diana. Let me throw a little – Diana, there you go. I threw you a shout-out to you. I'd be sitting there, and I'd say, did you just hear him? And she'd be like, no. I'm like, rewind it. Listen, you can hear him. You know, so the average person may not hear it. You know what I mean? I know, you know, from being around it, I know what to look for. But you're correct. He could do a little bit better of a job at hiding it. So –
yeah, he can. I want to focus a little bit special on the NXT guys. We talked about Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the American Alpha getting called up. What do you think of this pick?
That was a phenomenal pick. That came out of nowhere. I did not expect those two guys to actually get called up. I did not. I thought it was going to be Dash and what's his face?
Dash and Dawson. The Revival.
Yeah, Dash and Dawson.
Yeah, but I feel like the champions were untouchable. I thought the champions were untouchable.
So,
you know, I was thinking they were going to get drafted just because they lost the belts and they lost the rematch.
down in NXT.
That might be, you might be right on that. So I was that one actually. I was like, wow, that's actually cool. And they're gonna. I mean, I know everybody. It's a rumor that has gone around. You know, I read dirt sheets with a grain of salt, especially since I was on one at one point in time and it wasn't 100% true.
Oh wow.
But it was kind of funny when I read it though. I mean, it was one of those. I had already been let go of the company, and it was like 2 months later that it popped up, and I was like, wow, I made the dirt sheets. Awesome, you know. And then
oh, you made it. What was the story about you?
It was about me being let go. Me and the other guy that worked there, Pete Leone. And so when Pete got let go, I mean, Pete and I both got let go at the same time, but Pete stuck around for a little bit, I guess, to do a transition with a new person that took over or something. I don't really know. I wasn't there. But all of a sudden, you know, it hit the dirt sheets, and somebody reached out to me and said, hey, dude, you know, you're on one of the wrestling websites? And I'm like, really? And he was like, yeah. So I looked it up. I was like, cool, you know, and so I was like, how about that, you know, and then I started to look, and I'm like, oh, I'm on several of them, and then I found, like, one in Japan, and I found one in, I think China, and I was like, that's cool. I mean, it's basically the same story, just, you know, copy and pasted, but I was like, that's pretty cool. I was like, I made a wrestling website once in my life. I was like, you know, the fanboy in me popped out, you know, so, but, oh, but the rumor, well, I got sidetracked, sorry. You know, I've heard talk of Kurt Angle coming in and actually maybe having a match with those guys, you know, a three-way type match, and then eventually, like, retiring but taking over as a manager for him. And
well, see, the thing is, do you think Kurt Angle would pass the test to get into the WWE? I personally don't, just because he's put his body through so much hell. And, you know, he's at a place in his life where he probably shouldn't be wrestling anymore. Or if he does, very, very rarely. I could see him as their manager.
That's why I said that if they put him in a match where it's him and those, you know, them, the three of them against another team, that could work because then Kurt doesn't have to do too much in the match. You know?
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
He could come in at the beginning, you know, to get the crowd popped. You know, they could hit. He could get hit like he's hurt or something. And then at the end of the match, he gets the hot tag, comes in, does the finishing move, gets the pin, and then he retires.
That would be good.
And then he takes over as the manager for him, you know, which would be good.
I would love to see that. Or
maybe he becomes the Raw general manager when Foley's ready to go, you know.
Yeah.
Would actually be good with Stephanie because he played that yes character to Stephanie for so long.
Yeah, and they would have a good dynamic just because they have the chemistry already.
Yep. And then Triple H comes out and he's pissed off again that Kurt Angle's around.
You kissed my wife 22 years ago.
Yes, it would be, you know, the comedy side of it.
Yeah. Let's move on. Nia Jax, what do you think about her? Do you think she's a lot of people are saying that she's not main roster ready. I think for what she is, that she's perfectly fine to go on the main roster now.
I do too. I mean,
and she.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I
oh, no, I was going to say, I just feel like she brings a whole new dynamic to the main roster, and she's ready to go.
Yeah, I think she's ready. You know, is she title ready? No, not yet. But she's getting there. So, you know, time will tell, but I really think, you know, she has the capability of someday holding the women's title. There's no doubt about it. So.
Mojo Rawley. Going to SmackDown.
That was a surprise, actually. I didn't.
That was a surprise, but he's been in developmental for so long.
Yeah, I wonder if this is one of those, you know, it's sink or swim. You know what I mean? We're going to bring you up, and dude, it's like you got about 2 years to prove yourself. Otherwise, I'm sorry, we're letting you go on a Black Friday. So, you know.
Luckily for him, though, he got drafted to the same side as Zack Ryder. And I don't know if you're familiar with Zack Ryder in NXT, but they have a tag team called the Hype Bros.
Yep.
And I feel like that's the best thing for Mojo right now.
Well, you know, I had sat there and I told my niece, I actually see Mojo turning heel over that.
Okay.
You know, I could see them doing a little tiny storyline, which would be mid-card, but it would be good for Mojo. You know, Zack is all excited that he's there or whatever, and then Mojo could turn though. Well, you know, you never got me up here before the draft. Why didn't you know? Who were you talking to? You know, all the times we were down in NXT, you're giving me the hype talk. you know, telling me you're going to make sure I get up here to Raw, but I never made it up here to Raw. It took Stephanie McMahon to get me up to Raw. It didn't take Zack Ryder to get me up
SmackDown.
To Raw.
SmackDown.
Sorry, SmackDown, yeah. But, you know, it took, you know, Daniel Bryan to get me, so.
Yeah, definitely. He'd be like Mr. Intercontinental title at WrestleMania.
Yep. So, I think that's coming, but not. Here's how I envision it. You know, with the pay-per-view coming, and I know we're not talking the pay-per-view, but I predicted that the Intercontinental title and the U.S. title, they're both going to switch. Darren Young's going to win. Zack Ryder's going to win. So the titles are actually going to switch shows. So that is a good way of bringing Mojo in, that he could actually go after Zack Ryder right away.
I never thought of that.
Right away, go after Zack Ryder for the title under the same thing. You know, hey, bro, are we going to do the Hype Bros? Well, dude, I got a title right now. I can't do the Hype Bros, you know. You promised you would help me, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, you're putting that title first. I thought I was your best friend.
Yeah.
So. Wow, I never thought about the dynamic of the belts switching. I would hate to see Rusev lose the U.S. title, but for the reason you just mentioned, to switch the belts to the different brands, that's amazing. That's a really good prediction. I like that.
Well, Rusev is ready to go for a world belt. I mean, he's ready to go for a world title. They've held him back long enough. He's ready. So, you know.
Who's next on my list? Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss, when she came on the scene, she was a gymnast. She was a fitness model. She was completely green. She was crap. She was beautiful, but she was crap. Now, fast forward 3 years, she is amazing in the ring. She can go. And her character, her bitch character, is amazing. There was one situation where a few months ago, she was tagging with, I think, Emma, and she came in the ring, and she just turned and she just flicked her hair right in Emma's face, and it was just perfect.
Yes.
What do you think of Bliss coming up?
Wonderful call. She's going to bring a lot to the women's division, and she will hold that women's belt within the next 3 years. So,
and last but never not least, Carmella.
Sink or swim.
Yeah, same boat as Mojo.
Sink or swim. I agree with them putting her on a separate show and not getting her
mixed in with Enzo and Cass.
Yes, let her see what she can do.
I feel like she's developed a nice little...
If she doesn't pan out, then they got a choice. You know, they could put her with Enzo and Cass and actually end up being the point that breaks up Enzo and Cass.
I feel like she's developed a nice little gimmick on her own.
I do
a nice
too.
Little persona. And, you know, when they do finally meet up, you know, the first time on the main roster when Enzo says, and this is Carmella, and she's hot as hell, that would get a huge pop.
Right. And if they were able to move her over to the other show, she could be the way. She could be the point that breaks those two up. Because you know at some point they're going to have to break them up. Because you know.
Oh, you're right.
No
she
way
could be
Vince
the Yoko
McMahon
Ono.
Is letting a 7-foot dude sit there and hold a tag team title for his whole career. No. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, so, she could be the Yoko Ono.
And Enzo could do the cruiserweight thing very easily.
Yeah, he could. That's definitely true. And the Cruiserweight division's on Raw. And they could still, I mean, they could technically still be friends and go their separate ways, too.
Yep.
Okay, and then, so that's the draft. And then I'm going to let you go here in a second. Before I do, I want to ask you one last question. Who walks out of Battleground as the World Heavyweight Champion?
Before I answer that question, I got to go one last thing with the draft. One last thing. They said they were going to pick 60 people. And they only picked 59. There was only, and if I'm wrong, somebody correct me. They did the whole little vignette thing at the very end on the network showing, Social Outcast,
Heath Slater.
Heath Slater sitting there.
Yeah, I remember that. Out. He's pissed off that he didn't get drafted.
Right, so they're doing an angle where, you know,
where he's
going to be able
agent.
To come. I guarantee you for the next couple weeks, he's going to go back and forth on both shows, and it's going to be a comedy thing, but eventually he will end up on one of the shows, and they'll find out, oh, we forgot one pick, is how they're going to get out of it, you know. And so, but yeah, okay, so on to Battleground.
I believe.
Wait, hold on. Do you think the Heath Slater thing will pan out to be a big deal, or will it just be like a comedy?
It's just
going to
be a comedy thing, but eventually he'll end up on a show. He'll eventually say, "Well, y'all said 60, and there's only been 59. I'm the last guy," you know.
And he was so mad. He was so pissed.
So Raw's going to get it. It'll be Raw that'll get him, technically, you know.
Yeah.
And all right, the other two on Raw.
I think they split them up.
I think they're on the same show. They're on the same show.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's Raw. So
okay.
It was done during the network, and I'll be honest, when I was watching the network one, I was like halfway paying attention to it. So
yeah, it was fun, but it did get a little repetitive after a while. Okay, so Battleground main event. Who's walking out the world champion?
Seth Rollins.
Nice.
But here's what I think's going to happen. It's going to be a controversial win. Somehow something's going to get involved, whether it's Roman. And somehow something's going to happen that Daniel Bryan gets screwed. And because of him getting screwed that Tuesday night...
I mean, Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, sorry, Dean Ambrose. Man, sorry, I'm tired, dude.
It's okay, I follow you.
I get up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm So anyways... I guarantee you it's going to be some type of controversy. Dean Ambrose gets screwed over, doesn't get the win or whatever. You think he wins, the referee gets pulled out on the two count or whatever. Roman slides over and throws Seth's leg up on the ropes or something like that where he gets screwed. Tuesday night, Daniel Bryan and Shane basically say, you know what? Well, but we're going to have our own world championship. And all of a sudden, the Nature Boys music hits, and out comes Ric Flair holding the prestigious heavyweight championship. And they say, hold on, though, we're not actually giving it to you. We're going to have a four-person tournament or whatever. We'll have 8 matches tonight to qualify for the top 4. So.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But I think
I was wondering about the second title, and I figured that if they were going to bring it in, it would be after after Battleground.
Yeah, and I think I don't know if they'll do that with Ric Flair. I think it would be nice for them to let Ric Flair bring that out because he's the most well known about it. You know, if you think about it, if you throw it in as far as WCW, they won't mention it with WCW, but they'll just say former heavyweight champion Ric Flair. But I don't think, it probably won't be Rick, but, because you never know what Rick you're going to get. Sober Rick or drunk Rick.
Yeah.
And
I think he's been
a
little bit more
show.
Behaved lately, but yeah, no, I understand what you mean on that one. All right, Randy, so thank you very much for joining me. Before I let you go ahead and drop some social media where they can find you and where they can find the Andre Corbeil Show.
Hey, it's Sam. I want to personally thank you for reaching out to me and asking me to come on. All right. Anytime, man. Anytime you want me to come on, I'm more than willing to
do it. Like I said, you're definitely one of my go-tos. I really enjoy talking to you about wrestling.
And I appreciate you today helping me out with that little thing we were working on. I will let you know.
Yeah, go vote for Mikey, everybody.
Yeah.
I tweeted it out.
Last count, he's well over 2,100. he's like 1,100 ahead of the next guy, so it's phenomenal. But anyways, yeah, you can catch me on Twitter at Helms Randy. That's HelmsRandy, Helms Randy. You can catch me each and every Friday on the Andre Corbeil Show, which I'm on there with Andre and Sharia, who's over in the UK. She is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful girl that talks about TNA and does a wonderful job each week. You guys will love watching her. And we are on the Vince Russo brand, which is on the Realm Network. And so there you go. That's me, man.
That's you in a nutshell, huh?
That's it. And
cool,
I'm a guitar
Randy.
Player. And I also
And he plays guitar for 35-plus years, everybody.
Yeah.
He's a regular Jimi Hendrix.
Something like that. I was doing this thing on the Andre show on Randy's Corner called Hashtag Play This Randy, but nobody was selling. I couldn't get anybody to pick songs. I mean, 'cause the thing was, you pick a song, and then... challenge me, and then I would play 30 to 45 seconds of the song, but nobody was doing it, so I said, hey, when something doesn't sell, I stop it. I'm like, it's done, it's over. It's history, brother.
It's history. Cool, Randy. Well, take care of yourself, man. Have a good night.
All right, Sam. Thanks, brother.
Boom! What's up, people? Welcome back. It's always fun talking to Randy Helms. A big shout out and a big thank you to Randy Helms for stopping by. Follow him on Twitter at HelmsRandy. He's a cool guy, man. So if you guys ever want to talk wrestling, you know, hit him up. Talk wrestling to him. Well, I mean, talk wrestling to me first, but talk wrestling to him too. You know, at HelmsRandy on Twitter and me at PWN Podcast or at FunkySamMedina on Twitter. So I'm running, I'm getting pressed for time. So I'm going to skip the headlines. There's nothing that interesting that happened. Brock Lesnar failed a couple drug tests. Sin Cara got into a backstage fight with Simon Gotch. Apparently Sin Cara's been getting into a couple backstage fights. Rumors of Paige and Del Rio breaking up. There's nothing interesting going on, really. So I'm going to skip that part. I'm going to go straight into the depth analysis, and then I'm going to get out of here because I'm going to try to make this thing maybe 10 minutes or so from now. Can't see. I got sweat in my eyes. You guys, I just took a shower and I'm already like all sweating. It's so hot. My dumb ass mistakenly fell asleep this morning with the window open and the curtain open. And I woke up at 3 p.m. It was 88 degrees. And I knew the true meaning of a hot mess because I was a hot mess when I woke up this morning. I just took a shower. I feel a little better, but dang, I'm already sweating. It is so hot right now. And it sucks. We'll see. What time is it? It's 9:30 p.m. and it is, it's only 70, but it feels like it's way hotter. It's probably just way hotter in my room here, but outside it feels like way cooler, so I can't wait to go outside, you guys. Get out of this hot house. Alright, so it feels like it's 100, man. It feels like it's a billion, actually. Alright, so let's go into this depth here, what they did with the rosters. So let's go to Raw first. People say that Raw got the best. Randy Helms said it was SmackDown, but people say it's Raw most of the time. So let's go to Raw first. Plus it's Monday night, so it comes first in chronological order. We have Seth Rollins, Charlotte, Finn Balor, Roman Reigns, and Brock Lesnar. Those are the top five people on SmackDown. On Raw. Seth Rollins, Charlotte, Finn Balor, Roman Reigns, and Brock Lesnar, okay? Those are your top people. So we'll go baby faces. Who's the top baby face? According to this, Finn Balor. We won't count Brock because he's a part-timer. So we'll go Finn Balor, baby face, followed by The New Day, followed by Sami Zayn. We'll skip The New Day because they're a group. They're a team. So we'll go number one is Finn Balor, number two is Sami Zayn. Top baby faces, okay? Number three, let's see. Number three is The Big Show. Number four is Neville. Number five is Cesaro. Or you could probably switch those two. So, think about it. Cesaro is a top four babyface. And Sami Zayn's number two after Finn Balor. And then we'll go the heels. We'll go Seth Rollins is number one. Well, I guess Roman Reigns is the number one babyface. I'm just not counting him right now because he gets booed a lot. But we'll say Roman Reigns is number one. Finn is number two. And Sami's number three. Followed by Cesaro four. And then Big Show 5, Neville 6. We'll say that. And then we'll go heels. Seth is number one. Okay, Seth is number one heel. Number two is Chris Jericho. Number three is Rusev. Number four is Kevin Owens. And number five is Sheamus. The number five heel is Sheamus, you guys. I mean, also in that group that I didn't mention, we have The New Day. We have Enzo and Cass. And we have Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. Okay, and then we'll go The Golden Truth, Titus O'Neil, Darren Young, Sin Cara, Jack Swagger, Summer Rae, Mark Henry, Braun Strowman, Bo Dallas, The Shining Stars. Like, that's the Raw depth. Now let's go to SmackDown. The number one babyface on SmackDown, Dean Ambrose. Okay, Dean Ambrose is the number one babyface. We'll say John Cena is a part-timer, so we won't count him. I don't know if he's a part-timer, but I'm just going to say, For the sake of argument, John Cena's a part-timer. Okay, so we'll go Dean Ambrose is number one. Randy Orton is borderline. We don't know what he's going to be. I'm assuming he's going to be a heel, but we'll see. We'll say Dean Ambrose is number one. Kane is number two. Kalisto is number three. Look at this list. Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, John Cena, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, The Miz, Baron Corbin, American Alpha, Dolph Ziggler, Natalya, Alberto Del Rio. So, technically Dolph Ziggler's the number two babyface. I mean, we'll say John Cena's number one. We'll say Dean's number two. We'll say Dolph Ziggler's number three. That's still not very much depth. And then let's go to the heels. We'll go AJ Styles is number one. Okay, we'll say Randy Orton's number one. AJ Styles is number two. Bray Wyatt's number three. Baron Corbin's number four. Del Rio's number five. Okay, then you have Usos, you have Kane, Kalisto, Naomi, The Ascension, Zack Ryder. And then there's American Alpha somewhere in there. And there's just not a lot of depth here, you guys. I was excited about this draft. There's not a lot of depth going on. I hope that, you know, they bring in some MVPs and some Shelton Benjamins and some Carlitos and some Chris Masters to kind of fill the holes a little bit. Because with the guys who are already over, the past guys, the MVP and the Shelton Benjamins and those guys, they, you know, they will get people over. They know what they're doing. And they come in as instant stars. You know what I mean? And hopefully those guys come in. And hopefully, you know, in the next couple of months, we get a Bayley and we get a Samoa Joe, we get a Nakamura, you know, we get an Austin Aries, we get a Bobby Roode. Because we really, really need depth. We need to make some stars, because there's not a lot of stars. Like, look at this. We'll say Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, John Cena, Randy Orton, and Bray Wyatt are stars, okay? Bray Wyatt being a star is a stretch. Okay, so those are five guys on SmackDown that are stars. And then we'll go to Raw. We'll say Seth Rollins is a star. Is Charlotte a star? No. Is Finn Balor a star? Unfortunately not. We'll say Roman Reigns. We'll say Brock Lesnar. Are New Day stars? I wouldn't say so. Is Sami Zayn a star? Probably not. Is Sasha Banks a star? Not yet. Is Chris Jericho? Yeah, Chris Jericho's a star. Is Rusev a star? I don't think so. Kevin Owens is a star. Okay, so we'll go Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho, and Kevin Owens. So those are the stars of Raw. And then, you know, we need to go into star-making mode. I haven't even said the Dudley Boys. I haven't even said the Dudley Boys yet. They're in there somewhere, right? They're on Raw. They're in there somewhere. This is crazy. There's no depth here. Apollo Crews is in there somewhere. Alexa Bliss, Breezango, Eva Marie, the Vaudevillains, Mojo Rawley. It's absolutely nuts. My bold prediction for the pay-per-view on Sunday, tomorrow, today, whatever, yesterday, is that Randy Helms said that the belts are going to switch, which is really cool. If Zack Ryder wins the U.S. title somehow and Darren Young wins the Intercontinental title somehow, then the belts switch brands, which is really, really cool. So if Zack Ryder wins the U.S. title, my bold prediction is that Mojo Rawley will get mad because they're supposed to be a tag team. They're supposed to be the Hype Bros. But then Zack Ryder puts the U.S. title first, and it really pisses Mojo off. So that'd be cool. And then as far as the world title goes, it has to be Dean. Dean has to walk out world champion. Because if you think about it, they're telling us already that Raw's a better show. Raw's a flagship. Raw's 3 hours. Raw gets the first pick. Raw gets the most picks. Raw this, Raw that. And what does SmackDown get? The world title. Take that away from Raw too? I mean, take that away from SmackDown too? I don't think so. SmackDown has to have something. And I feel like if you take away the world title from SmackDown right now, then SmackDown has nothing, you know? Okay, that's my rant. I'm going to go. Follow me on Twitter at PWM Podcast. Follow Gerwek on Twitter at GERWECK.net, or not the .net part, but follow Randy Helms on Twitter at HelmsRandy. Have fun, you guys. Enjoy wrestling. There's a lot of good stuff out there. There's the Cruiserweight Classic. There's NXT. We have NXT Brooklyn coming up. Finn Balor won't be there. But Nakamura versus Joe, Bayley versus Asuka. We have on Sunday the mystery partner for Sasha Banks. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Nikki Bella? I think it's going to be Nikki Bella. But it could be almost anybody. I was talking to my friends. I'm going to say this real quick. I was talking to my friends on this conference call where we get together, do conference calls, talk about wrestling. And we're talking about who's it going to be? And, you know, some people are saying, oh, maybe Emma comes back early. And, you know, I'm saying Nikki Bella, right? And then everybody's in agreement. Well, this is the WWE, so they're probably going to ruin it. So whatever it is, it's probably going to be a disappointment because everybody's like, Bayley, Asuka. And I'm like, no. And then people like, we all agreed. WWE's probably going to ruin it because that's what they do. They ruin things. So I said, who is the worst person it could be? Who's the worst possible person that it could be? And the answer was Eva Marie. We all laughed and we all agreed. All right, I'm going to let you go with that little anecdote. Have a good day, you guys. I'll talk to you soon. Take care, and don't be sour. Put your hands together and feel the power. Peace.